A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Instant Match Reaction podcast with myself, Ben Kelly. Joining me, Ross Chanley. Liverpool have just drawn 0-0 away at Everton in a cagey, difficult atmosphere at Goodison Park. But it wasn't a great performance, Ross. We were just bad again, really, particularly the second half.
Yeah, disappointed, frustrated, annoyed. All the bad emotions, really. We knew Everton were going to make it difficult. We knew they'd be up for this game. We knew the crowd would be up for this game. There were spells, particularly in the first half, where I thought we were decent. We kind of took control of the game. We kind of took the sting out of their fans first 20 minutes. We know we there was examples of Trent walking over for a throw-in, kind of just trying to slow it down a little bit. And you kind of thought, oh, this is all right. But then, you know, we had some massive chances. And as the game went on, it's just like, it's going to be one of them.
For me, I mean, we're going to get into the finer details of the performances in the next, you know, over the next 10, 15 minutes. But that is alarming for me. Obviously, Wednesday we were very good. And Watford just weren't really on our level. We got an early goal and we overran them. But if you take it on face value, we played three games in the space of a week there. Two of them were big away games. It's concerning for me that both of the second halves were awful. Like,
yeah.
Man United, I think Man United was probably worse given the injuries and all that last week, you know, and obviously we're not here to talk about that game, but that combined with this, both second half performances in particular, when, you know, the games were potentially there for the taking, for me that is a real concern, that we didn't have the bite and we didn't have that extra little bit of, I can't really think of the word, just well, I mean, Gary Neville used it a lot, but maybe it is the word composure, mm-hmm. to go and just take that extra step and win those two games. I'm really disappointed by it.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think composure is definitely one of them, and this is not making excuses at all. I think you've got to take into consideration there's 11 other lads on that pitch that want to win that game. They were bang up for it. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I was really surprised that Gini Wijnaldum started the game because he looked goosed at Watford in midweek, and then again today, you know, he came off a little bit earlier than some of the others, and he was knackered. But if you're knackered and you know you go into these games and you're tired, meet the changes. Keita didn't play in midweek, which is really surprised to start. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to decide for the game.
I didn't think Keita was going to play today, but then it baffles me that he didn't play on Wednesday. I thought that was the one. When he left me at Man United, I assumed that he would just play Wednesday. And obviously, like you say, Wijnaldum's an interesting one because I think the problem that we've got with Wijnaldum, it's a nice problem. The issue that we've got with Wijnaldum is he's practically the first name on the team sheet because he's that good. So he's an integral part to our midfield. Now, Jordan Henderson hasn't staked his claim quite as much as Wijnaldum. I think that's why we see Henderson rotated a little bit more. Obviously, he decided to bring Wijnaldum off today. I think I would have gone with that midfield three personally at the beginning, because it's a hard working midfield three. I think I said, you know, as we were watching the game or just before, I think Fabinho is actually, you know, on a good day, a lot more creative than people give him credit for.
He's the best creative midfielder.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think it was the defensive industrial midfield that people like to paint out, because I think the hard workness of it, you know, to create chances. But for me, Milner was poor when he was brought on. Lallana, I don't really know why Lallana was brought on. It was the substitutions, it was the way Klopp changed the midfield that baffled me more than the actual first picks.
The timings of them as well, because there was five of us in the studios going, someone's got to come on in a minute, and it's like, no, it's not happening. You expected the Bobby change, and then I think the Gene one was too late. Again, Milner was poor, but there was a lot of poor performances in that side. I don't think Trent was great.
No.
Henson's second half completely dipped off. Marnie wasn't great. Salah You can say the midfield as much as you like. They were creative. We created a lot of chances in that game. We got a lot of corners, a lot of free kicks. I don't think we use them to the best of our ability at times. But Mo Salah needs to take those chances.
Yeah. Particularly the first one.
But even before that, I think he had a touch play to him, and it was an easy pass from Henderson, and he just hit it 5-10 yards in front of him. You're thinking, this isn't you. What are you doing? And that just kind of panned out for the whole game. The first chance he took it, an extra touch, which he didn't need to take, made it easy for Pickford. And to be fair, it was a good save. But
there's two big ones. There's the first one in the first half that Pickford saves, and then there's one in the second half that Michael Keane gets a good blocking. And they're both similar positions doing all that, right? The first one in particular for me, when you've got no pressure coming from behind and you've got that much time to think about it, and sometimes that's where Salah does struggle, when he's got too much time to think about what he's doing.
If he's got five people in a corner, he's fine,
and he can just instinctively do something. That's where Salah thrives. But you know, in situations like that where he's got so much time to think about where he's going to put it, sometimes he struggles there. But for me, that's the one he's got to be scoring. And it's interesting because Salah often, look, you can't really hide it, Salah often doesn't perform in the big games. And I think that is down to the way that the top teams, I say the big games against the top six, the top teams tend to man mark him. Bayern marked him out the game in the Champions League. Man United always.
He wasn't marked out today.
That's what I mean.
Okay, so worry.
Salah not showing up today was on him, and that's a bit more of a concern for me.
Well, there's two sides to it. You know, you can't expect everyone to be at the top of the game every game, but obviously just putting out three or four games there where he wasn't because of other people. It was the simple stuff. That's the worrying thing. I was not like, okay, I can take the chances, but it's like there was a pass to Milner towards the end, and I don't even know whether it was a shot or a pass that he was trying. Completely wasted the ball. There was other people free in the box. You know, we mentioned fine margins so much. And you expect your best players to be the difference makers.
It's even more important in this season where it is so close at the top.
But again, I think we limited Everton to their chances. So, you know, when you get yours, you have to take them. And it sounds a bit simple. It might be a bit of a lazy argument, but You pick anyone out of that team and for those chances to fall to, you're going Mo Salah. Yeah. Please take him, because we know Marnie's not the best finisher. Yeah. He'll score 6 out of 10 unless it's a back heel, which he's fine with. But Salah, he's been accused of being selfish sometimes, he was, and then he started playing for the team a bit more and getting other people involved and stuff. For example, use your right foot as well.
Yeah.
To them chances, he could have done anything else apart from he just made it obvious to Pickford where he was going to put the ball, which makes it obviously easier for him. I can't even think it's confidence thing anymore. I know he's going to have 4 or 5 games, maybe even 6 now without scoring.
It is a shame. But let's try and talk about something that was good, because we both, we had the chat before recording. Mm. Both centre backs were really good today. Again, Virgil van Dijk. Matic was good, right? But Matic was what he is. Virgil van Dijk,
I thought Matic had another good game, to be honest.
No, he did. He was really good, but it's really difficult for me to really appreciate Joel Matip having a good game, because Virgil van Dijk's just on another level, not only to Matip, but I think to pretty much everybody on the pitch. I just think he's outstanding, and I think I mentioned downstairs, he's, for me at the moment, he's nailed on for player of the year, because I just think he consistently is the best player in the league. I genuinely believe that's the case now, in terms of, all in pretty much every award, that is gone up for, defenders don't really get a look in. But right now, if you look at all the top players in the league from the front to the front of the pitch to the back of the pitch, there's nobody as consistently as good as Virgil van Dijk. And I said again downstairs, for me, it's a shame really that defenders don't really get in the conversation for the Ballon d'Or, because I think he's that good.
I think his performances a lot of the time get overlooked because his standards are so high and so consistent. I've just done my player ratings then. He won't get a look in or a mention in the thing, because everyone's got, and fair enough, focus on the negatives that he should have won. And there's a lot of poor performances, which I get. But because he makes everything look so easy and so simple as well, and so calm and composed, he's the ball falls to him. He had it before. He's back to goal. attacker on his shoulder, and he's running towards our byline. He's just going,
he just comes out, and goes out.
I think Paul said, "Oh, he's got no right to do that," but he has got the right to do that because he's so good.
Yeah.
But again, he makes it look so simple, so easy. The effect that he has on other players, his organisation. You mentioned before when Fabinho gave the ball away and he was sloppy.
Yeah.
It wasn't a case of like
shouting,
gesticulating and going absolutely mental. Yeah. It was one shout, a look, and go fucking pack it in right now.
I think over the last few games, I've always tried to stop myself from being dragged into the conversation about the captain's armband.
Mm-hmm.
But I think over the last few games, I'm now sort of in the camp of, in the summer, I'd be giving the captain's armband to Virgil because I think he's that good. I think he's the leader on the pitch.
Yes and no. Yes, absolutely, because he's the leader. He does it in performances as well as vocally. Yeah.
We've had this conversation
before. Yeah, I know, but
it doesn't really matter to Jurgen Klopp, I don't think. But I don't think
it makes a difference to Virgil van Dijk either. That's my point. I think
players want to be captain.
Traditionally, Liverpool captains are obviously behind Conte. You go back to Gerrard, who obviously Carragher had it before that.
Yeah.
Sammy Hippier was immense centre-half and being captain as well. You can go on. I just don't think it makes a difference to van Dijk. Mentally it'll give him a boost, but I don't think it'll change his performances is what I mean. So I think he's still carrying on being that top player.
Yeah.
I think he's still carrying on marshalling the defence, and like you said, I don't think Jurgen Klopp actually cares, to be honest. I don't think he wants to distract distract anyone, to be honest. Everything that he did today, he just cleaned up.
He gets in the way of everything.
He
wins everything in the air, and he gets in the way of everything.
I did a player ratings months ago and said his head's like a tractor beam for the ball because he can put anything in the air, and that's what Everton did quite a lot today. It was Calvert-Lewin, long balls, and all day Virgil van Dijk was just eating them up. Okay, when it was targeted at Robertson, he had a couple of problems and stuff. But it's food. That's food and drink to van Dijk. Go on and fucking put it for 40 yards. And
it's funny because, you know, I think we've got to give a little bit of credit to Everton because I think, you know, they really did go for it. The crowd, we discussed many times over, not only this season but down the years, of how much crowd can make a difference. We saw it in the Man City game, we saw it in the Man United game, where, you know, the atmospheres were against us, and this was another one today. But having said all of that, Everton gave it a go. Again, because of Van Dijk and Matic's performances, they didn't have that many clear-cut chances.
No.
And I think that speaks volumes on our side. Again, we're just looking solid again at the back at the moment.
That's the encouraging thing. And one thing you can probably take from this whole season, though it won't feel right to say this right now, but so many years, like, we suffered when our attack's not been great.
Mm.
We'd just leak goals and we'd lose these games and, you know, we'd be terrible. And You want to win your games. That's obvious. But like, it's just so nice to be able to rely on and not worry. No, at no point was I really worried about that. Maybe the Everton one or two chances when they played the ball against across the 6 yard box.
Yeah.
But the fact that Van Dijk has such an influential role on Matip as well, or whoever he's with at centre half, like Matip,
it's no coincidence, is it?
No, I know. But even like Joe Matip, like people, me and Paul were talking before the game started. You know, with Lovren, would you get Lovren back in? You think no? Matip's on a really good run of form, and like, the stuff that where his weakness is, like being on the ball, I thought was terrible. And there was times that Joel Matip today was our most creative player.
I know.
I mean, the amount of times, not just in this game, but Watford, Bournemouth and the games before that, making major runs, going past the midfield and running at the defenders.
Mm.
Other people weren't doing that.
You're spot on. I think, look, it's easy to get bugged down after today because obviously going into the game, we wanted to win. We were going in to win. But we are a point off now, point behind City. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time, we're not top.
Yeah.
You know, as in not top by right. You know, as no City have been top recently, but they've had a game in hand. We had a game in hand, blah, blah, blah. I think, I might get slaughtered for saying this, but I think given the performance, I don't think a point was a bad result in the end. Because I think even though they didn't create that many chances, I think we could have easily lost that today, given the way it was going. And actually,
second half, first half, I thought we were good enough to win, we should have scored in that first half. We had three or four clear-cut chances.
But there
was times where they were dog shit in the first half, and we should have scored.
Yeah.
And then when Bobby came on, Bobby created, you know, he was coming deep for balls, he was causing havoc, creating more opportunities, we're getting more people forward. But the amount of time, it wasn't even hard lines, it was poor.
Mm.
So, you know, you get into the right positions, there's people that are free, and then it's a poor pass, a poor decision, and like we said at the top of the podcast, you know, these are the difference makers.
Mm.
If you want to Or it's nothing to do with the league at this point. This is just about the game. You want to win the game, make the right decisions. Yeah, yeah. These are experienced enough footballers, and I don't think it's anything to do with the crowd either. It's just off it. Just off it, yeah. But it, again, you said before, it's concerning because it's happened a couple of times. And Mel Reddy was on Sunday Supplement this morning. She said, you know, Watford, you know, it's not for the lack of want of trying. You know, it's not coming off. Mm. It's just that synergy and stuff isn't there sometimes. I think that might be in criticism saying, you know, we were saying before, putting Keita in there. We take chopping two midfielders out and putting two in. Is that changing up a little bit too much? That's why it never happened. But, you know, we wouldn't be sat here saying this if we won the game. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, got two games now before the international break, mm-hmm. which you can't help but feel a must win. Well, they are must wins. They are
Fulham and Burnley,
must-win. They're Fulham, Burnley at home next week, Fulham away. I think now if we go into the international break and we're still a point behind, that's not the end of the world. But obviously, and anything else from there is a bonus right now. But, you know, for the first time in months, really, the league's out of our hands, and we've just got to hope and pray that City somewhere along the line drop points. I think they will. And I think we'll drop more points between now and the end of the season. But I think we'll... And actually, one more point before we wrap up. I don't think, even though the performances haven't been great in the Everton and Man United games, if we win the league, if we don't win the league at the end of the season by a couple of points, I don't necessarily think we'll look back on these two games as the games as where we lost it. I think it'll be the West Hams and the Leicesters and anywhere else down the line. That's just personally for me. I think overall, in the context of a season, to draw away your local rivals, to draw away your biggest rivals in Man United and keep clean sheets in both of those games, even though the performances weren't great, I don't think we'll look back on these games as the ones at the end of the season, personally.
Not at the end of the season, but right now, yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. Now, I appreciate your half glass full mentality. I'm still there. It's just frustrating that we had opportunities to win the game and we didn't take them. And okay, you could argue we might look back at them at the end of the season, but it's getting a little too often, and I think I don't think so much in the players' minds, but definitely in the fans' minds of going, not, well, okay, there will be people that say we fucked it now and that'll be the game that's happened. Mm. But, you know, you said it yourself, people are going to, well, City are going to drop points, we're going to drop points. It's expected, you know, it's not over yet. It's still a long run. It's still a very good season for us. It's just annoying because we all want it so badly. And, you know, none of us are any different to those people that say it's gone. People just desperate for success. People desperate to go and win it. And again, you know, it's the clear-cut chances.
It is.
Of going, you know, we could be sat here full of joy, walking to work tomorrow morning, you know, giving it beans, still skipping your step, and you're just thinking, we should have won.
No, we should have done, but it's not over yet. There are 9 games to go. If you are not, like, if you're at boiling point at this point, there is a long way to go. You know, we've got until the 12th of May here where you're still going to be having sleepless nights. Look, today was disappointing, but let us know your thoughts on the games in the comments below. I think I know a lot of the vibes that a lot of the comments are going to be giving us in the comments, but that's the way it is. There are 9 games left, everybody. There are still 9 games. That's nearly a quarter of a season still to go.
And we've only lost one game.
Lost one game of football. Let's just keep going. We've got some big games to come. We've got an international break where hopefully we don't pick up any stupid injuries. We've got the Champions League still to come with the Bayern game. There's loads to look forward to. There's loads to get. Just try and enjoy the ride. I know that we keep saying this, and I know that it's really difficult because we're all so stressed out. We're all so hungry for that success. But look where we are. Just try and keep. I know. I'll probably be slaughtered for saying stuff like that, but that's the way I'm looking at it. That's the way most people have got to look at it. And
I understand people's frustrations, and it's completely fine.
So do I. But at the moment, you can't control it. We've got until the 12th of May to be worrying about this. Just try and enjoy it.
It's going
to
be a long 2 months, isn't it?
9 games to go, everybody. Thanks for watching, as always, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.